الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله يا للصلاة يا للصلاة يا للصلاة يا للصلاة أقامت الصلاة أقامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Savendra Sarmani, please straighten the rows, turn off your mobile phones. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
Allahu Akbar.
Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the lessons of hadith from Riyadh al-Saliheen will take place. Brothers requested to participate, inshallah, it will be beneficial. Baqiya dua ke baad darsa hadith hoga. Sati shirkat farma, inshallah, zarur fayda hoga. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. إن شاء الله we have a short lesson of hadith. Brothers request to participate. إن شاء الله beneficial. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد الحمد لله. My dear respected brothers and elders, every Sunday we have these hadith lessons, and the purpose of the hadith lesson for myself, for all of us, is to remind ourselves of the noble lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the aspiring legacy that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam left behind, so that we can follow it to the best of our ability. So in this chapter Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is discussing the poverty of the Sahaba, the hunger of the Sahaba, and of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the fact that there was no importance in the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or in the eyes of the Sahaba for any of the dunyawi things, for the worldly matters. They had no importance of it. Dunyawi cheezon ki koi ahmiyat nahi thi inki aankhon mein. So, just continuing from the hadith that we stopped at. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال لقد رأيت 70 من أهل الصفة ما منهم رجل عليه رداء إما إزار وإما كساء قد ربطوا في أعناقهم منها ما يبلغ نصف الساقين ومنها ما يبلغ الكعبين فيجمعه بيده كراهية أن ترى عورته رواه البخاري. سيدنا أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه narrates that verily I have seen 70 of the people of Suffa, of the Ashab al-Suffa. We discussed last time what is the Suffa, the small, nowadays they say is that race platform, Suffa or not, there's a, you know, the architectural the difference of opinion. But otherwise, there was a place, platform, inside of the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein there would always be, the maximum that people that would remain there would be about 70 people. Different Sahaba would come and go. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu is one of those Sahaba who probably spent the most amount of time in the Suffa, just because he came from the tribe of Daus, the 10th year of Hijrah, he migrated and he just stayed in the Masjid. And that's why he would always be. In another hadith he mentions that my Muhajirun Sahaba friends, they would be busy with their markets. My Ansari friends, they'd be busy with their orchards and their date palms and etc. But I would have no business, nothing. So I would spend all my time with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So those 2 years he spent, 2-3 years he spent with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took so much benefit and so much hadith he memorized, which he then passed on to us. So he mentions radiyallahu anhu that I have seen 70 of the people of Suffa, the companions who would live on the Suffa. مَا مِنْهُمْ رَجُلٌ عَلَيْهِ رِدَاءٌ. Not a single person from amongst them had a rida, a cloak, a shawl. A shawl to cover over their body. So in those days, like nowadays, we wear the shalwar kameez, with the upper garment, and we have the izar, or the lower garment. And then we have something to keep us warm, which we throw over. So this is the rida, the upper cloak or something which would be thrown over to give heat to the body and to give comfort to the body. So he mentions that imma izarun wa imma kisaun. The people of Suffa would just have one item of clothing. Either izar, a lower garment, one sheet which is supposed to cover their lower part of their body, or one sheet which is supposed to cover their upper part of their body. So they had one sheet of cloth that they would use, and they didn't have anything else. قَدْ رَبَطُوا فِي عَنَاقِهِمْ. And what they would do is they would take that sheet of cloth and they would tie it from their necks and just drape it, let it dangle as far as it could go. مِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ نِصْفَ السَّاقَيْنِ. Some Sahaba of the Ashab al-Suffa, that one sheet of cloth used to be long enough that it would go to the middle of their shin. It would go to the middle of their shin. So when it would dangle from the neck, it would stop or end at the, you know, in the middle of the shins. وَمِنْهَا مَا يَبْلُغُ الْكَعْبَيْنِ. And there were some Sahaba whose that one sheet was so long, it would go all the way till their ankles. فَيَجْمَعُهُ بِيَدِهِ كَرَاهِيَةَ أَن تُرَى عَوْرَتُهُ. And he would, that particular Sahabi would gather it with his hands, meaning he would, or any of the, because they had one sheet of cloth, they would gather that cloth and they would keep it together so that their awrah, their private area, is not exposed. Because they don't have 2-3 sheets of cloth, one item of clothing. So they would keep it tightly around them so that their awrah, their private area, for the males, which is the navel to the knees. The navel to the knees is the men's awrah. Now it's summertime and you're seeing everybody's wearing shorts and stopping at the top. This is your displaying the awrah. So we need to stop our children, youngsters at home, don't wear shorts. Shorts are not permissible because you're displaying all of this area. So they go on holiday and then they forget all the laws of Islam. So taking pictures from Dubai, Abu Dhabi, and we've got their shorts until then. You can see all this exposed. So this is unanimous amongst the scholars that all of this area must be covered. So this is the awrah. So Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he says that they would gather it and pull it around themselves so their awrah is not, cannot be seen. They would only have one item of cloth and they would have to suffice on that. So again, this is the poverty and the quality of living that the Ashab al-Suffa went through. Just one sheet of cloth, they couldn't afford another one. And previously we've covered the hadith where another Sahabi, he narrates the hadith where sometimes they only had one sheet of cloth and one person would cut it in two, he would give one piece to the other friend and he would keep one piece. It had no importance for the things of this dunya. And this is why Allah Ta'ala, alhamdulillah, blesses with so many blessings. We can't let the love of those things come into the heart. Alhamdulillah, we wear nice clothes, we live in nice homes, we have so many, you know, facilities, amenities, luxuries that many of Muslim brothers and sisters at this moment in time in the world do not have. Many people do not have. We haven't done anything better or more superior to them to deserve these things. This is mahaz Allah Ta'ala ka fazal. This is only Allah Ta'ala's grace. Allah has given me these things. Never ever feel self-important. Alhamdulillah, I have this. I'm a very rich person. You know, I'm a wealthy person. And this. The love of those things should not enter the heart. And if a person feels the love of that thing is entering the heart, they need to get rid of it. I know this is a bit personal, but when I bought this car, so I went to Bradford to my father-in-law. Or my mother-in-law said, I don't know, you might have seen this red car, it stands out. And my intention was never to buy a red car that stands out. That I'm driving around in a Ferrari. So anyway, my father-in-law is very angry. And my mother-in-law said to my father-in-law, Sheikh Mutasif al-Islam, just make dua for barakah for the car. He was very angry, I could see in his face. Why did you need to buy a car? I said, because your space was getting limited. And alhamdulillah, I didn't. My wife, she's helped towards it financially, I couldn't. And alhamdulillah, the price was not the way that you're thinking it might be by looking at it. Because he always mentions the incident of, like, for example, you've got accountants and people with, mashallah, a lot of money. And he says, they come to me, an accountant came to him and said, can I borrow £2,000? I said, you're an accountant, you're a wealthy man, why do you need £2,000? He said, you know, I've got this car on lease, new car, 73 plate, and monthly, you know, the lease is so expensive. I just, this month, I can't struggle. So my father-in-law would say, why do you need to buy the latest car? The point is to transport from one place to the other. Very angry with me. So I explained to him that I didn't, and the intention behind the color, it just happened. So this is what we need to do. Teach those people underneath us, our subordinates, that way you shouldn't have love of these things in your heart. This is dunya. You know, I was reading one quotation about Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, rahmatullahi alayhi. Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri was a great muhaddith. So his student mentions that kana dirhamu fi aynayhi أَخَصُّ مِنَ ال... He says that the dirham, the coins in his eyes, was more مِنَ الْبَعْرِ. He says, كَانَ الدِّرْهَمُ فِي عَيْنَيْهِ أَخَصُّ مِنَ الْبَعْرِ. Or the word may be أَهْوَنُ مِنَ الْبَعْرِ. That the dirham, the coins, in the eyes of Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, was more despicable than goat droppings. We knew this for sure. Ibn Shihab was a great muhaddith. Okay? He was the ustad of people like Imam Malik, rahmatullahi alayhi. They mentioned that the dirham and the dinar in his eyes were worse and more lower and more inferior than the goat droppings. They had no qadar of it. Somebody came to Mawla Fadlur Rahman Ganj Muradabadi, rahmatullahi, the great Naqshbandi, pious wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they gave him this big gift. So his student says, why are you giving me this? What am I supposed to, I've got no need, I don't know where to use this. You're giving me a bodge, it's a burden. I don't know where to use it. All my expenses are met. The problem is when your income increases, then your lifestyle has to increase as well. You have to up your game. You're going to give me all this money, I'm going to take it home. My wife's going to say, well, you've got all this money. Why don't you buy this new nice thing, this new nice thing? We can do this, we can go here, we can do that. So if you're here and you've established your level, then it's how everybody knows, this is my level, alhamdulillah. People can shout and scream and throw tantrums time to time. But the reality is this is your level, it's established. But more income comes in, the lifestyle increases, and always this pressure, this stress is bound to our neck. How am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to make ends meet? Upgrade from one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom, driveway, garage. G-garage, big garden, this. There's always something else that we want. This car's not enough, bigger car. That car's not enough, even higher car. That's not enough, two cars not enough, three cars. So the more money that comes in, there is more pressure to increase our standard of living. So alhamdulillah, whatever we have, alhamdulillah, oh Allah, whatever you have given me is sufficient. Oh Allah, put barakah in it, and I have no importance of these things in my heart. Allah Ta'ala, make us from these people. وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها قالت كان فراش رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أدم حشوه ليفا. I mentioned this car point because sometimes this thought goes in my mind. Wallahu a'lam, Marana can correct me if I'm saying something I shouldn't say. But you know the hadith Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, اتقوا مواضيع التهم. That stay away from places of blame. Like, we get, oh, Mufti Sahab, mashallah, he's got so much money, he is just riding around in expensive cars. That's not the reality. Allah Ta'ala knows the situation, and Allah Ta'ala knows my reality. I'm not a pious person, but I make dua Allah Ta'ala makes me from the pious, and all of us, inshallah. Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidatina Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bistar, his bedding, was min udmin, was made of leather. Wa hashwuhu leafun, and its filling, that which used to be inside of his bistar, was fibers and leaves from trees. So you know when we sleep on our mattresses, the mattress has wool inside. Oon hai na, hamare mattresson ke andar, in our bistars. We've got wool. Wool is oon, isn't it? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bistar was filled with this tree leaves and bark from the trees. And the scholars mentioned that in those times, the wealthy people, they could afford that. They would put the wool in there. Most people would have wool inside of their bedding. It's naram, it's soft, it's comfortable. But the only people who would use these things are the people who absolutely had no wealth, no money. They would just go to the trees and wherever there was leftover leaves and pieces of, from the bark and from the branches, they would just put that into their leather and they would sleep on that. And this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sleep upon. We'll do one more hadith, inshaAllah. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال كنا جلوسا مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ جاء رجل من الأنصار فسلم عليه ثم أدبر الأنصاري فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أخ الأنصار كيف أخي سعد بن عبادة فقال صالح فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من يعوده منكم فقام وقمنا معه ونحن بضعة عشرة ما علينا نعال ولا خفاف ولا قلانس ولا قمص نمشي في تلك السباخ حتى جئناه فاستأخر قومه من حوله حتى دنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأصحابه الذين معه رواه مسلم. سيدنا عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما narrates that we were sitting with Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم when a person from the Ansar came. A person from the Ansar, he came. فَسَلَّمَ عَلَيْهِ And he gave the salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He initiated the salam. ثُمَّ أَدْبَرَ الْأَنصَارِيُ Thereafter, this Ansari person, he moved back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَا أَخَ الْأَنصَارِ Oh, my brother from the Ansar. كَيْفَ أَخِي سَعْدُ بْنُ عُبَادَ How is my brother Sa'd ibn Ubadah? Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu, great sahabi, one of the leaders of the Ansar, the leader of the Khazraj tribe. Khazraj tribe or Aus tribe? I think Khazraj tribe. The two leaders from the Ansar, one was Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, radiallahu anhu, who is the leader of the Aus tribe, as far as I remember. And Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Ubadah is the leader of the Khazraj tribe. So both of them were the leaders of the tribes. There would always be conflict and, a civil war between those two tribes. Until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara, and then they all united to become known as the Ansar, the Sahaba who lived in Medina, who helped the people who came. And last week we mentioned that beautiful hadith. Actually, I didn't mention it. It's in another chapter. Where Sayyidina Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali, radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik. So beautiful this hadith. So beautiful, subhanAllah. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik, radiallahu anhu, he says, I was once traveling with Sayyidina Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali, who was a great chief in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and later embraced Islam. But he had these beautiful qualities. He's the person regarding whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ خِيَارُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ The best of you in the jahiliyyah, ignorance, are the best of you in Islam. Meaning if you already have those beautiful qualities inside of you, attributes, then Islam is just like it just makes you perfect and complete. It's like you were just waiting for Islam. There are many of us, we were born with Islam, but our sifat, our character, our qualities, they are wanting. But you see someone who doesn't have Islam, beautiful qualities, character, always smiling face, always positive, many beautiful attributes can be found. When they come to Islam, subhanAllah, it's like the Islam was always supposed to be for this person. So Sayyidina Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali, Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he's from the Ansar. And he was very young in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was only 19 years old when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. But he says that Jarir bin Abdullah al-Bajali was traveling with me somewhere, and he just started doing my khidmat. He started serving me, looking, after me and doing things for me, and I became really, really embarrassed. Because he was much older than me in age. So I said, please stop this, don't do this. Jarir bin Abdullah Bajali radiallahu anhu, he replied, he says, I swear by Allah, he said, I have seen the Ansar yaf'alu ashya'a li Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I have seen the Ansar doing so much for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in terms of their hospitality, their ikram, mehman nawazi, they just gave everything to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, we are here for you, whatever you want. He said, that's why I took a qasam, an oath, that any time I am traveling with an Ansari person, I will always do their khidmat. I don't care about age, how old they are, how young they are. So, subhanAllah, this is Ansar. Sayyidina Anas bin Malik was such a young boy. And at that time, he was obviously older. But the point is this khidmat, appreciation to Ansar, what they did for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. SubhanAllah, they left everything. Ya Rasulullah, ab ke liye sab kuch qurban. You know, one is you say from the mouth and one is demonstrate. Ya Rasulullah, we had all of this, but it's all yours now. You do whatever you want. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this Ansari sahabi, how is my brother Sa'd ibn Ubadah? So the sahabi replied, he is well. Salihun, he is good. So either salihun, he means he is well, he is okay, or it's nekfali, in order to say nekfali. That, you know, when you say someone is salih, he's good, meaning inshallah he's getting better. He's getting better. He's recovering. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us, مَنْ يَعُودُهُ مِنْكُمْ? Who wants to visit him from you? Who wants to go and do his ayada? Timardari. Who wants to go and visit him? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up. وَقُمْنَا مَعَهُ. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, he says, we stood up with him. وَنَحْنُ بِضْعَةَ عَشَرُ. We were just over 10. Just a few of us stood up with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go and visit Sayyidina Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu. And this is the point, what's going to come next, the reason due to which Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought this hadith here. He says, مَا عَلَيْنَا نِعَالٌ. None of us were wearing sandals. وَلَا خِفَافٌ. None of us had socks on. وَلَا قَلَانِسٌ. None of us had topis on. وَلَا قُمُسٌ. None of us had qamis on. Upper and lower garment together, qamis on. نمشي في تلك السباخ. We were walking on that barren, hot field. حتى جئناه, until we came to Sayyidina Sa'd bin Ubadah رضي الله عنه. I mean, he's trying to say this was our condition, that not a single one of us that stood up, the Sahabi is, we're looking at each other's feet. We can't. None of us have sandals, shoes, socks, walking in the heat of Madinatul Munawwara. SubhanAllah, imagine how hot that is. But they just don't have it. فاستأخر قومه من حوله. The people that were surrounding Sayyidina Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu, they went back. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions, they went close and near to Sayyidina Sa'd bin Ubadah, الذين معه, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam who were with him. Again, from this hadith, we can also understand the importance of Ayadatul Marid. Obviously, this is a separate chapter. I don't know if we've done it or it will come later. I think it will come later. Visitation of the sick. I think it's come. The importance of visitation of the sick. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions a person who goes in the morning or in the evening to visit his sick Muslim brother or sister, obviously for women folk, then there are 70,000 angels who make dua of maghfirah for him till the morning. And if they go in the morning, 70,000 malaika angels make dua of forgiveness for him till the evening. SubhanAllah, look at that reward. Again, my father-in-law, I don't want to mention too much. I mentioned to Murana the other day, whenever he's at home and he doesn't have anything to do, you know, we, our wives won't let us sit at home, to be honest. Do this, do this, do this. Whenever he's, you know, he's got a moment, 5 minutes, half an hour, 1 hour to spare, he takes out his phone and he'll call all his contacts in Bradford. Do you know anybody? Do you have any family members in the hospital who are ill? Is there anyone we can visit? BR, and he doesn't drive himself, so he'll say, just come and we'll go together. Is there anyone in BRI? Is there anyone in this one? Is there anyone in the Shipley Hospital? Is there anyone in the Keithley Hospital? Is there anyone in the Leeds Hospital? Anyone who's ill, he'll be up and out. He won't, a day, honestly, I don't know a day that's gone where he hasn't done iyadah of someone. And that evening when you sit with him, today I want to visit this person, I want to visit that person, I want to visit that person's relative, that elderly person, that elderly lady. SubhanAllah, you know, it's about taking these teachings that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left us with. The fazail are there, the virtues, the reward, but it's about internalizing and bringing it to our lives. There are some people have taken and gone. Some people have taken them and gone. And they just get all this ajar and reward. And some of us say, karenge, karenge, karenge. You know, we'll do it when we get time, and that time just never comes, or we do it occasionally. So it's about like the hadith of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in the morning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, who has helped a person today, who has visited a sick person today? He had already done it at Fajr time. Checklist. All these things have great reward. I need to get them done. I need to make time for them. I need to somehow squeeze them in. And they would go and do them. Allah Ta'ala, everyone ready to do this, inshallah? Allah Ta'ala, give myself all of his tawfiq. SubhanAllah, bihamdulillah, subhanAllah, bihamdulillah. Thank you.